Welcome to worship this Christmas Eve at the Congregational Church of Amherst, United Church of Christ. Welcome to the young and the old, sinners and saints, believers and doubters, first-time visitors and old friends, and all of us that land sort of in between and beyond all of these little categories. Church, we have been preparing for you. The heat is on. The greens are hung, the poinsettias are out, the candles are ready to be set aglow, and there is room in this congregation for all. And so just for this time, I invite you to leave all that is left to do, all of the craziness of this season at the door. Put aside the gifts to be wrapped, the turkeys to be cooked, the miles to be driven, the stockings to be hung by the chimney with care, and take this time to ponder peace, to seek hope, to be transformed by the beautiful and messy story of how God came to earth and dwelt among us, told to us this evening by our very own senior high youth group. Welcome to this time that has been set apart to kindle the light of God within us. Welcome to this place where we gather in song and ancient story to unravel the wonders of love and light and life that is Jesus Christ born to us this day. Welcome, my friends, to this time of worship.
Please rise in body and in spirit and join me in the call to worship. The one who walked in the darkness have seen a great light.
And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
For a child has been born for us, a son given to us.
And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord.
Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace and goodwill to all.
Come, let us worship the newborn Savior.
Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Thank you.
Please be seated. God of love, with hope we have come to this place to hear again the story of Christ's birth. In the excitement of this night, we quiet our minds so we feel the wonder of this holy time. Make us curious so we have space to discover new meaning in ancient stories. Shine light in the darkness of our world. Sing, O angels, in the stillness of our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those in God favors. This we pray in the name of the child of Bethlehem. Amen.
Rejoice, people of God. The light has come into the world. On this night of wonder, we light the candles of hope, peace, joy, and love, and also the Christ candle, declaring the presence of God in our midst.
Isaiah proclaimed a time when those who walked in the shadows would see a great light. A light would shine and a child would be born to us.
Luke proclaimed a new light born to us and recounted the assurance of the angels. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy.
John proclaimed that this great light is Christ, the world made flesh. A great light lives among us. By it we behold God's glory, full of grace and truth. At Christ's nativity we now rejoice.
God, our light and life, thank you for coming to us as baby. Thank you for showing us how to live and die. Thank you for touching all heaven and earth with your abiding and everlasting love. May every corner of the world shine in this night with your peace. May every corner of our hearts shine in this night with your unshakable grace. Amen.
Friends, it is a joyful night, and so let us give that joy away. May the peace of God be with you, and also with you. Now share the peace with one another.
Thank you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
In the words of the prophet Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness have seen great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Everyone went to his own town to register. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea and to Bethlehem, the town of David. Joseph was from the house and line of David. Mary, who was expecting a child, registered there too. While there, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Mary wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The prophets spoke of this day. They said, "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. He will be named Emmanuel," which means God with us.
At first, Joseph thought Mary had betrayed him. He had planned to quietly break their engagement and privately send her away. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus." Joseph woke from his dream and did exactly as the angel of the Lord had commanded him.
Thank you.
Nearby, there were shepherds sitting in the fields, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you goods of great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts joined the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace earth, on earth peace." After the angels left, the shepherds said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the joy of whom the angels speak." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and saw the child lying in a manger.
Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw the star and have come to worship him." They went out following the star until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. When they went to the stable, they saw the child and Mary and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they offered their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Magi were not Jewish, yet they were drawn to this child. He was a king born for all the people, a king who would be servant to all.
The true light that gives light to every person came into the world that night. But Jesus' birth was just the beginning of the story. Jesus would grow up. He would go on to teach us how to live. He would feed the poor, heal the sick, and speak the truth to the powerful people in his time. He would walk on water, raise Lazarus from the dead, and ultimately die and rise again, proving that love conquers hate. Tonight is just the first story in a miraculous story of the one who came to save the world.
Thank you.
may be seated. My friends, will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A long time ago, in a Galilee far, far away, the shepherds are in the fields watching their flock by night. Late, late at night. So late that some of those shepherds are probably sleeping, and maybe others are huddled around a little fire, squinting their eyes to see their sheep across the field, listening really, really closely to figure out if that was a wolf they just heard or only whistling wind. They are dirty from living in the fields, and they are kind of each other's only friends because they're pretty unpopular in town, and they are hungry. They share their bread and their beer to fill their empty stomachs, and they are sharing their stories to fill the empty, silent night. The shepherds are watching their flocks when suddenly, shockingly, quite unexpectedly, the sky floods with light and music. The sky is filled with light and music and some angel saying, I can only imagine what those shepherds thought. I can only imagine how they tried to organize this event in their minds. Maybe they're hallucinating from hunger or lack of sleep. Maybe they're going insane. Maybe this was some sort of weather event, like an electric storm or the Northern Lights, or I can only imagine what those shepherds felt. But I don't have to. We don't have to. In one of its rarer moments, the Bible tells us really directly what these characters were feeling. They were terrified. And who can blame them? When first encountering the full force of the glory of the Lord, most people, from Moses and Isaiah to Mary and Joseph, to the first witnesses to the open tomb on Easter morning, all of them feel a little bit of terror. And in fact, the angels already know that. They are used to it by now. They know what to say. They've said it before, and they will say it again from Genesis to Revelation, when an angel is bringing a word from the Lord, or when God is about to do something really big. Do not be afraid. Fear not. We hear, be not afraid. And why do you think they say, don't be afraid? Well, angels know, and God knows, that when we are scared, we don't really take in a whole lot. We can't really do a lot of good for ourselves or for anyone else, for that matter. When we are scared, and you have certainly heard this before from your therapist or your science teacher or an article on your Facebook feed, when humans are afraid, we go into flight, fight, or freeze. Our brain function lowers, our vision narrows, and we quickly try to decide which of three extreme and not entirely wise options will help us survive the best. Fight hard, run hard, or play dead. And God knows there is a lot in this world to be afraid of, isn't there? Fear of death, of aging, of becoming irrelevant or unimportant. Fear of violence, of others who look different or believe differently or love differently. Fear of not having enough or losing what we have tried so hard to save. Fear of war, of terrorism, of the unknown. Fear of feeling helpless in the face of systematic problems like racism or climate change. Fear of not being good enough, fear of never being good enough, and even perhaps fear of God. And I'm not talking about the biblical fear means reverence sort of thing. I mean fear of God, as in afraid of, scared of, terrified of the one for whom we wait. And so I imagine that when the angel Gabriel said, "Do not be afraid," to those shepherds, he took a little pause after. He waited, made himself as non-threatening as a heavenly host could possibly be, to make completely sure before delivering his important message that their fear had transformed into awe. Because awe is something God can work with. Awe is a little scary, sure. Humans feel awe standing before something both vast and new, something we can recognize immediately as bigger than ourselves. Awe asks, demands really, that we wrap our head around something heretofore incomprehensible, expand our understanding of the world. And awe, believe it or not, makes us more generous. It makes us feel more connected, more curious, more humble. Awe moves us. In its presence, we are less sure of our own uniqueness, our own power, our own control. Awe is how we feel when we stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon or the banks of Niagara Falls for the first time. Awe is the birth of your first child or grandchild, realizing what a miracle it is that people can survive birth, how your heart has somehow expanded 1 million times, and how much future that little baby has in store. Awe is fireworks and mushroom bombs and meeting the Queen of England. It is a combination of wonder and fear. And so the angel waits for awe, awe that our God could ever want to come to earth in the lowliest way possible, awe that our God would want to take on the world so full of terror and violence in the most defenseless way possible. "Do not be afraid," the angel says, "for I bring good news of great joy. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Do not be afraid, because a little child will lead you. Do not be afraid to follow your call. Do not be afraid to love your neighbor. Do not be afraid to touch the sick. Do not be afraid to befriend the outcast. Do not be afraid to stand up to evil, to the powers of the world. Do not be afraid to die. Do not be afraid to really live. Because look, God is with you. Emmanuel, Prince of Peace." On this Christmas Eve, we proclaim that God knew that in order for us to not be afraid, we need a Savior who would be willing to be confined within the contours of an infant in order to show us how God feels about us and all of creation. The face of the baby Jesus is the face of our "be not afraid" God, who means us no harm. And it is the face of a God who makes sure that all angelic messages begin with the call to fear not. This is the God whose birth we celebrate tonight. So friends, despite whatever else we hear out there beyond these walls, as followers of Jesus, we are invited, we are called, we are challenged to be not afraid, to fear not. For we have seen the face of our God and know the incomprehensible depth of God's love. May we all go from this time of worship tonight, deciding to lean into courage rather than give into fear, trusting that God is still at work in this world and even at work in us. Just imagine what could happen in our lives and in this world if we all decided to heed the angels' voices and to not be afraid anymore. Thanks be to God, and amen.
Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
you may be seated. Come now and kneel before the Christ child. Bring all that you are and all that you have. Offer your gifts in wonder and surprise and awe. Offer your gifts in joy and delight.
Thank you.
join me in the prayer of dedication. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, we know that the greatest gift is the gift of love. May this offering distribute your love to the world. May it bring love in our small world, to those with and around us who are suffering, and to the larger world, where the powers of love is so desperately needed. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we pass the light, lighting each candle from one person to the next, lighting up the church with our individual flames.
The light bearers will begin the flame at each end of the aisle. Once your candle is lit, turn and let the person sitting next to you light their candle from your flame. Let the light start from the center of the sanctuary and move out, and watch the whole sanctuary come alive.
But first, we need to remind you how to light a candle.
When your candle is lit, please always hold it upright, especially as you are passing the flame to the person next to you.
Always let the unlit candle turn sideways to catch the flame.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody drips hot wax on the carpet or cushions or your nice church clothes.
Please blow out your candle when we are done singing Silent Night. And of course, ushers are at the ready with fire extinguishers if you need it.
Now let us hold space and shine light in the darkness.
Please rise in body or in spirit.
The light from even a single flame makes it easier to see in the dark.
We pass the light to one another because we know that peace and joy are meant to be shared.
This flame reminds us God is with us.
May we live as people strengthened by God's hope.
May we live as people encouraged by God's peace.
May we live as people abiding in God's joy.
May we live as people sharing in God's love.
Receive the light and let its glow be in your hearts this night.
Eve, may God be a bright flame before you, a guiding star above you, a smooth path below you, a kindly shepherd behind you, and a child to redeem you. Today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.